even know. Let's pray. Let's pray. Lord, thank you. Please help us this morning as we continue the first of the year messages to help us to examine ourselves and to go through self-evaluations and look at ourselves and our spiritual lives and our relationships, Lord, as we are going through this process at the beginning of the year, to help us, Lord, to have a more spiritually productive 2021. Lord, this morning, this message is so simple, but yet so vital. Help us to hear. Help us to understand and take. Lord, please do not leave us to ourselves. Interrupt our lives for your honor and for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So this morning's message is a message that I had read from Pink. And I took the outline from it. I did my own stuff with it, but I took his basic outline. But he preached this message in 1949. And it was so overwhelming as I was reading his sermon on this, and that I thought I wanted to share it with you guys. So I've been working on it all week, and I want to share it with you. But the title of it is A Good Start to the Year. A Good Start to the Year. You know, it's a blessing whether you can really process this or not. It's really a blessing to be a Christian in our world today. Because we have hope. We genuinely have real hope. And our hope, which is really good news, our hope that we have, it's not tied to this world. It's outside of the things that we see going on around us. It's outside of the political arena, the economic arena, the moral arena in our world. It's our hope is not tied to the things and the circumstances in this world. And honestly, you read about the statistics and the rates of depression and anxiety and everything else that's going through the roof in America. And no one, I'll tell you, if this is what I had to hope for, if this is what I had to put my hopes in, I'd be depressed too. Wouldn't you? I mean, look around. If we had to rely on the systems and the events and things going on around us, I would be depressed also. But we don't have to. And that's the beauty of this, to know that this place is really not our home. Guys, this is really not our home. And that we have a citizenship that's in heaven. And that our dreams are not tied to the earthly occurrences that we see, the earthly events, the incidences all around us. We're not tied to them. We have something great. This life is not all that we have. Isn't that wonderful news? That there is truly a great reward waiting for the Lord's bride. So that's not in everybody. That's not everybody. For only believers, there is a great reward that is waiting us. Y'all know this. For so many years, even as a young boy, I remember thinking that you hear people say all the time, and it's customary in the early days of January for people to wish each other a what? Happy New Year. Happy New Year. And I've thought before, but on what grounds do we expect a good year? And I know you have thought about it. You maybe not have put it together as I have, but you have thought, you know, I'm going to make these resolutions, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do this better, and I'm going to do this differently in hopes of your year being better. But what grounds should we expect? What grounds should we do if we want to have a good year? We certainly have little hope if we pin our joy and contentment on things of the world. And there are a lot of people that do. They pin hopes and dreams on temporary things in this world. And I'm really not trying to make a pun, but it just is so shocking how it's so blatant and yet people didn't see it. They really seek their best life now. And even in that title, as the American church, we just swallowed it. We lapped it up. We just took it all in like, yes, this is great. Always looking and seeking for the next thing that would make us happy. Can I tell you this? Have we not matured? And I'm just talking to New Hope folks, okay? Because I know what the answer is outside of this, but have we not matured enough as believers to understand that your personal happiness, even as mature Christians, changes? Do you know your happiness changes? Things that you used to like and go, man, I love this. You wind up not liking so much. And so if you pin your hopes and dreams on what makes you happy, you're going to be awfully unhappy. But we do that as humans. You know, Scripture, throughout Scripture, it teaches us. I want to read you one verse out of 1 Samuel 2:30. It says this, "Those who honor me, I will honor, and those who despise me shall be lightly esteemed." You know, this, I'm not saying these things for us to say, okay, I want you to go out and if you do good, then good things will happen to you. Please don't misunderstand what I'm saying. But what I'm really saying to you is that there is a privilege of being a believer. There is great blessings as that if you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. He has given you, as Ephesians 1:3 says, all the blessings of heaven. We have the privilege of walking in the grace of God and acknowledging it, knowing it. Listen, God is gracious to everybody. People that hate Him, God is gracious. Did y'all know that? God's good to everyone. For them to be able to breathe and their hearts to be able to beat, for them to even be able to enjoy creation, to sit and taste good food, You can hate God, and that's a gift. Those are common graces that God lavishes on everyone. But then there's the effectual grace, where God calls His children to Himself. And you can walk in those graces and mercies every day. It's your privilege. You are a child of the utmost, the highest, the most holy. You are a child of God. Ephesians 1:3. It's a privilege. And so I thought, let's stop for just a second. We have this Sunday and next Sunday, and then in February we're going to start on in 1 Timothy, I'm going to talk about deacons and elders and what is a biblical deacon and a biblical elder. We're going to discuss those things, and we're going to get them right, get it right. But today I wanted to stop and just take a breath. And I wanted to say, Lord, how can I help our people to think, to, you know, when I'm talking about being gospel saturated, if you remember last week, part of it is to understand who we are. To see who God is, number two is to understand who we are. And to appropriate these graces as we head into 2021. Ezra 8:22 says this, "The hand of the Lord is upon all them for good who seek Him." So let's seek the Lord's glory in 2021. Set my soul afire, Lord, for Your good in 2021. So how do we get started? These are the 4 points that I got from Pink, and they're good. And they're basic, and they're going to hurt a little bit. Okay? They're so basic, they're going to hurt a little bit. So let's go over these 4 points. Okay? The first one is this. We need to start with a clean slate. How's that sound? You ready? Let's start with a clean slate. And some of you may be saying, that's impossible for me, for I burned so many bridges, I can't undo what I've done. And there's certain people who will never forgive me again. And that may be true. There may be people in this world that they're never going to forgive you. They're just not. And that's between them and God will deal with it. And you may be reaping what you've sown in your life. And you may be saying, man, I've messed up a lot of things. I've made a lot of bad choices. And I'm reaping a lot. As Hosea said, I've sown to the wind, and I'm reaping a what? Whirlwind. And it may be coming out in all different types of ways. Don't you love the buts? But God. In the atoning sacrifice of Jesus, gave us a miracle of grace, did He not? In the atoning sacrifice of Jesus, He has legally reconciled His children to Himself. That's glorious. Through Jesus, God has made this reconciliation of His children and us. Not by your merits, as we looked at last week, not by mine, not by anything you have done, nothing. That's part of the phrasing of that great hymn that we go, "Nothing in my hands I bring, simply to the cross I cling." There's nothing that we can bring to the Lord. Amen? Lord, I can't bring you something that I've done. And if you think you've done something and you think you have accomplished something, you're a foolish person. Seriously. If you think God owes you something because you've done something, you're not understanding Scripture, period. If Isaiah, at the throne room, the vision of the throne room of God, if the prophet Isaiah says, "I am undone," believe me, everybody in this room is undone. Do you understand me? If the apostle Paul says, "I'm the chief of all sinners," we've all got a problem. Do you understand that? There's so many passages of Scripture. Listen, I got so overwhelmed on Friday, I can't even remember, as I was going through and looking at Scriptures, I had to just stop. I just said, I need to pick a few that they may have not thought about or read or what, but God just forgiving us and giving us a clean slate. There's one verse or passage that you probably have already thought of that we've got to look at. But I want to give you just a few, just a couple of passages. One is in Proverbs 3. 7 and 8. "Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil." Don't be wise in your own eyes. You know, I get tired. It's tiresome. Hey, talking to people that you look at constantly and go, "You're wrong. This is wrong thinking." Well, it doesn't matter. This is what I think. And well, you're wrong. Y'all know, don't be wise in your own thinking. In your own eyes, fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be healthy to your flesh and strength to your bones. Repent. Don't be wise in your own eyes. Don't just do it your way. Do you know how many people, they really don't want to be bothered? They don't want to be helped. They don't want to talk with you or talk to you about things. They don't want the wise counsel of other brothers and sisters. You know why? Because they want to do it their way. Won't you ask some brothers and say, "Hey, what would you do in this situation? Or what would you do in this situation?" Won't you sit down and talk to brothers and say, it's also because of pride. It's because they want to do it their own way, and it's also because of pride. Just leave me alone. Let me do it my way. Don't be wise in your own counsel. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Okay. There's a lot. I am going to go to this one. Isaiah, of course, duh. Isaiah. We are getting back to Isaiah, believe me. We're going to finish that book. And when we get to chapter 30 and 40, boy, it's going to get gloriously good. But Isaiah 44, 22. Let me read it to you. I'm going to read 21. Remember these, O Jacob and Israel, for you are my servant. I have formed you. You are mine. O Israel, you will not be forgotten by me. Amen? I'm not going to forget you. But look at verse 22. I have blotted out like a thick cloud your transgressions and like a cloud your sins. Return to me, for I have redeemed you. And then, of course, you know we got to go to 1 John. I'm going to skip the rest of them. Go to 1 John. I mean, when you're talking about repenting, if you miss 1 John, then you just missed it. 1 John 1. I'm going to start with verse 5. We're going to read 5 through 10, the rest of the chapter. Verse 5. This is the message which we have heard from Him and declared to you, that God is light and in Him there is no darkness. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. Do y'all get that? Oh, I love God, but I'm cheating on my wife. I love God, but I'm lying. I love God, I'm stealing. I love God, and I'm hating. Come on, guys. I mean, really. But if we walk in light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Amen? Verse 8. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Glory. The precious blood is ever available for you and I, for believers in Christ. It's ever available for us. Available to apply through faith to say, Jesus, I know you have done this sanctifying, this sacrificial work on the cross for my behalf. Let's start 2021 by putting our sins under the blood of Jesus. How's that sound? We need to make, of course, a general confession. Lord, I love you. I trust you. You are my God. You are the only hope that I have. But then let's don't just leave it like that. Lord, I'm sorry. Let's get down to the nitty gritty. Let's get particular. Let's start calling things in our lives, but it takes self-examination in our lives to say, Lord, I have an anger issue. Help me. Whether y'all realize this or not, your pastor has an anger issue. I'd rather be a linebacker than a preacher. Maybe that is, I'm a preacher linebacker, spiritual linebacker. I love it. Probably. And that's saying a lot because I'm a terrible preacher. But my point is this. You have to sit down with yourself and God, and you have to be real with yourself. No fooling. You're not going to fool God, right? You're not going to be able to sit, trust me on this, and be able to say, God, well, the reason why I have anger issues is because you didn't have, Lord, you don't know how it is to raise the two sons that I raised. That was just an example. Yes, He does. Do you know why He gave us the children He gave us? To sanctify us. Bless Chelsea's heart. I just told Chelsea this morning, I said, Chelsea, remember, Martin Luther said the two greatest sanctifiers in our life is marriage and children. And that is the truth. You want to know how unholy you are? I'm being serious. You want to know how unholy you are, how much you mess up? Look at how you're loving your wife. Men, look at how you're loving your wife. Listen, I'm going to tell you, all the men right here, are you loving your wife like Christ loved the church? Hello? I can answer that question for you. Emphatically, no. Women, are you submitting to your husbands as unto the Lord? Now the problem is with that phrase, y'all probably are submitting to your husbands like you submit to the Lord. You're not. No, I'm serious. It's something for us to sit back and go, Lord, what are the sins? Don't sit there and go, the sins of my husband. What are your sins? And for the widows and widowers here, y'all've got junk too. Y'all probably argue with yourself. Miss Jessie, do you argue with yourself? Let's get real. Sit down with God. If y'all took that spiritual assessment, which I'm not even going to ask y'all about it anymore. This is the last time I'm going to say it. If y'all have gone through, it helps you do this. To sit down and go through things in your life to go through and repent over. You know, I need to say this. This is a side note, but I need to say this. Y'all know this. I've done more marriage counseling than I ever could imagine I would ever have done in my life. And partially because of Beth's calling in her life. And there's times when a husband and wife in a marriage, in a counseling situation, when the husband needs to talk to another man, right? Y'all get that. And it's crazy. And I'm not just busting on men, but men, I want to help you here, okay? It's amazing. I will always say to a man, I want you to rate yourself between, I mean, I do this with almost every guy that I do, go through marriage counseling with them. I'm like, on a scale from 0 to 10, I want you to rate yourself on these specific areas like spiritual leadership, financial leadership, emotionally, you know, loving, how are you loved? It's amazing. And I get the wife to grade the husband too. It's amazing how clueless men are. They'll be rating themselves 8s, 9s. They're thinking, oh, I do this great. And the wife is over here suffering and going, you're not an 8. You're not a 7. You're not even a 5. So I'm helping you, men. If you want to grow spiritually, get real with yourself. Now, I can't speak from the women's side because I'm not a woman. But I can tell you, men are clueless. And you can walk out this door today and not do this, and that's on you. We're small this morning, and I'm giving you warning from the Lord. Repent. Let's start with a clean slate. Go to the Lord. Ask Him to forgive you. Get specific. Get particular. Pick on yourself. Judge yourself harder than anybody else. And go to the Lord and say, Lord, please forgive me. Do you know what the Scripture says? He will. Isn't that glorious? Go to Him. Y'all look scared. Are y'all mad? There's some people going, I ain't coming back. This is your privilege. This is your holy gift as a child to run to your father and say, Dad, forgive me. Isn't that wonderful? I'll tell you, as a dad, as a father, those are some of the most precious times in a relationship when a child comes and says, Dad, I'm sorry. And there's been the opposite too, where a child just is stiff-necked and hard, and they're like, I'm not going to say I'm sorry. And those are the most heartbreaking times. Think about that. Think about that. So let me ask you this. Do you think it might be a good start to 2021 to sit back and think about how you have grieved the Lord and ask for forgiveness? Do you think that's a good start? I think it's a great start. Now you decide if you're going to do it. Point number two. This is the one that I got so overwhelmed over that I there were times, I may have to do it now, but there were times that I had to walk away. I had to go, I gotta stop and walk away. Point number two. And some of y'all this week, I've sent mushy, not any of the ladies, some of the men here this week, I've sent mushy texts to, and you might have gone, man, Brandon's getting soft. But it's because of this next point. We must remember the Lord's past mercies. If you and I, if we find it hard to recount our blessings from our Lord's hands, if it's hard for us to look back and see all the blessings and endowments throughout our lives, if it's hard for you to do that, it will be hard for you to see the continuation of them. Does that make sense? If it's hard for you, as hard as some of you guys, listen, some of you guys have had a hard, bumpy life. I know y'all. But if it's hard for you to look back and see the Lord's mercies and graces and where He has brought you to today, it's going to be hard for you to see how it continues. Does that make sense? And so there's a part of this process for this year, and here I go again. It's in that spiritual assessment pack where you stop and recount and look at the good things in life that God has done so that you can, for 2021, be able to see more clearly that God is going to not leave us. Guys, He's not going to leave us. He's not going to forsake us. We have a future. There's future grace. Amen? There's past grace, but we have to look at it and go, man, Lord, thank You. Thank You, thank You, thank You. And you know what? You'll be surprised because you will say thank You even in the most difficult times. Right? To be able to say, Lord, I am counting on Your future grace. And that gives us strength. You don't have to be chicken little. The sky's falling. Run around like crazy. We can now have confidence to walk with our heads up, knowing that God is going to continue to be faithful to us, even in the hard stuff, or especially in the hard stuff. Ingratitude is not becoming to a child of God. Honestly, to be honest with you, to be ungrateful, that's a mark of an unbeliever. Really. I'm just being straight up. For you to always hear, rah, 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 sip out of the pickle jar, rah, 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 that's a mark of an unbeliever. There are so many passages. I don't even know where to begin. But I'm going to just read some. And I'm going to go quickly and you can write them down. But there are so many things in Scripture about remembering. Remember what the Lord has done. Remember what He has done for it in stories and passages. Remember what I have done. Calling God's people to remember His faithfulness. Deuteronomy 6:12. Then beware lest you forget the Lord. Beware if you forget the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage. Beware if you forget. Deuteronomy 8:2. I'm going to read 8:1. Every commandment which I commanded you today, you must be careful to observe, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land of which the Lord swore to your fathers. Verse 2. And you shall remember that the Lord your God led you all these ways for 40 years in the wilderness to humble you and to test you to know what was in your heart, whether you should keep His commandments or not. Try that one home. All that pain that you've gone through in the past, the 40 years of wilderness, could it have been the Lord testing? Yes, I would say so. Uh, I don't know if I can get through this. Psalm 77. I got to move on. Psalm 77. I'm going to start with verse 10. It says this, and I said, this is my anguish, but I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember your wonders of old. I will also meditate on all your works and talk of your deeds. Your way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Who is so great a God as your God? You are the God who does wonders. You have declared your strength amongst your people. Amongst His people, you have with your arm redeemed your people, the sons of Jacob and Joseph. Psalm 103, verse 1 through 5, Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Don't forget them. Meaning stop and think about them. Who forgives all of your iniquities? Who heals all your diseases? Who redeems your life from destruction? Who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies? Who satisfies your mouth with good things? So that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Amen? Glory! This is what He's saying to you. Psalm 119. I remember your name in the night, O Lord. Oh yeah, that's why I put this in here. For all of you who wake up in the middle of the night, anxious and troubled. This is for you. I remember your name in the night, O Lord. And I keep your law. I remember your name. When he's troubled. Psalm 143. Verse 5 and 6. I remember the days of old. I meditate on all your works. I muse on the work of your hands. I spread out my hands to you, and my soul longs for you like a thirsty land. Isaiah 46, 8 and 9. Remember this and show yourselves, men. Recall to mind, O you transgressors. Remember the former things of old. For I am God, and there is no other. I am God, and there is none like me. Glory. we can go on. John, I mean, it goes on and on. John 14, when the Lord Jesus tells the disciples in the upper room that he's going to send them a helper. And this helper is going to help remind them of his words. Guys, we're still in the upper room. And the Holy Spirit is going to remind you of the words of Christ, remind you of Scripture. Go to Him and ask Him, Lord, help me remember Your mercies and graces in the past. Write them out. Write them down. Listen, I was hunting this week. Sonny and Gene and I went hunting one night. I can't remember what night it was. And I was trying my best to work through these verses. Some of them I just read to you. And I was getting so overwhelmed. I was like, I gotta walk around. I just thought, I gotta walk around. I just got out of the deer blind and just was weeping before the Lord. Come on, God. You've done this for me. Goodness, it's already 12. I still got two more points. I'm not even done with the second point. We forget. We get caught up. We get sucked in by this world. We get caught up in our own real problems. There's a lot of people that don't have real problems, believe me. Matter of fact, some of our problems aren't real, but there's some that are real. Real problems. And we get sucked up in them and we forget the Lord's gracious supplies and deliverances. We need to remember them. Give Him praise. And remember them so that we can see the continuation of them even better. Let's start our 2021 this way. Is that good? So repent, number one. Get after it and get right. And then number two, let's remember. Let's stop and remember. Number three, let's consecrate ourselves. This day, let's say, Lord, today, I'm only going to serve You and You alone. Today. Now, I'm giving you the shotgun version. All right? Today, Lord, I'm going to serve You. In Joshua chapter 3, I love, this is one of my favorite passages in all of Scripture, Joshua chapter 3, when Moses has turned over leadership to Joshua and he's about to lead the people over into the promised land. And listen to this in John 3, 5, just one verse. Joshua 3, 5. Just one verse. Write it down so you can go back and read it. And Joshua said to the people, now some of yours might have consecrate, some of you may have sanctify. It doesn't really matter, okay? Sanctify yourselves. For tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Listen to me. Listen to me, New Hope Baptist Church. Go through repentance. Stop and remember. And then point three is this. Consecrate yourself. Say, Lord, it doesn't matter where my children, because listen, your children can lead you astray. Doesn't matter where my children go, where my family goes, where my loved ones go. I'm following you. Right? That's what Joshua was saying at the end of the book when he was calling all of Israel saying, listen, choose this day who you will serve. He wasn't talking to the world. He was talking to the people of God. Choose today who you're going to serve. Today. Repent, remember, and then sit down and make a decision. Today, Lord, I'm choosing, I'm consecrating myself to you. Point number four. So three is we must consecrate ourselves. Number four, we must resolve ourselves to bring glory to God. You can write these verses down. 1 Corinthians 10:31, James 1:22. Make it your goal. Lord, I'm going to bring glory to you in 2021. I'm going to tell you, if we would decide just in this room, as small as the number that we are, if we would decide, Lord, I'm going to do it my is humanly possible, everything to your glory and honor. Could you imagine what the Lord would do in 2021? Now, I'm being serious. Make it your goal, your aim. Don't be an imposter. An imposter will say, it can't be done, so I'm going to eventually just do what I want to do, or do it half-hearted, or try only when it's convenient or easy, or only when it benefits them. You know, if you look at the example of Christ, and I'm going to give you a couple other verses, so don't put anything away. If you look at the example of Christ in John chapter 8, verse 50, somewhere around there, Jesus even says, I didn't come for my own glory. I came for my Father's glory. And you know, it hit me like a ton of bricks. I don't know why I've never thought about this, but as I was preparing this point and getting it ready, and it was like, pow! I mean, it like smacked me aside. I thought, man, do y'all I'm just curious. Do y'all know what the first words in the Bible, the first recording of Jesus' own words, do you know what it was? No. No. His own word, what was recorded in Scripture, Jesus' first words. In the temple at 12 years old. And they were coming, do you remember? In Luke chapter 12, I think. And they were coming back to get him. And he's 12. Those are the first recorded words of Christ. And they were coming back and he said at 12, don't you know I'm about my Father's business? And I thought, wow! At 12, Jesus was already proclaiming, listen, I'm here for him. That's a pretty good challenge for us, right? He never changed. Till the very end. I only do what I hear my Father do. Let me ask you, do you only do what you hear the Father do? So, without crying, no more crying. Preachers that cry, a bunch of wimps. Surely this is a good way to start the year, is it not? To repent, to remember, to consecrate, and to do all for the glory of God. Amen? Now let me ask you, are you willing to do that? Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this time. Thank you for your word that is so convicting. And Lord, we confess, Lord, we confess openly, as Isaiah did before you, we are undone. And we dwell amongst the people that are undone. Lord, we need help. Please, God, do not pass us by. God, please don't leave us to ourselves. Lord, please help us. Lord, bring back things to our minds. Help us to remember. Lord, help us to be able to repent and to get things right. First with you, Lord. If we don't make things right with you, how are we ever going to make things right with our fellow believers and then people in the world? Lord, help us to remember your graces and mercy. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. And then, Lord, as Joshua called the people, as they were on the edge in the banks of the Jordan, and he called them and said, consecrate yourself, for tomorrow God will do great things. Lord, help us, help us to set ourselves aside. And then lastly, Lord, may we do everything for your honor and glory alone. Please, Lord, please, God, help us. Thank you for this morning. Thank you for your word, for your precious Holy Spirit that's convicting us. Lord, help us to take a message to this world that desperately needs to know. Help us to take the gospel to all of our friends, our family, our loved ones, to not be ashamed of the gospel. Thank you for this family. Thank you for New Hope Baptist Church. To God be the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.